A few words from our sponsors. No, that's what I feel like tonight, because I'm going to be reminding you that tonight is the night that we do have the ABC book. It's already in the bookstore. So I want to make sure you guys know. Can you hear me still? Okay, good. There's this little thing, and it feels like a toothpick. So if you barely brush it, it's like, oh, what did I do? Could have messed up the whole night. But I think that's what this is for, because they know me. So anyway, the ABC book is available, and you can let people know it's also going to be available in the bookstore by clicking through the website in that way. Just however it is you usually do that, that's how you're going to do it. So that's a fun thing. The other thing I wanted to let you guys know as we go into this session, so now we're getting into the age that we're past a year, just so if you're like, orientation, first day of school, which class is this? This is the level two class, okay? Kind of a joke, but not really. So we're here to help, but we are not here to do the job for you. So that's you and Jesus are gonna do this job called being a mom. So some of the things that we're gonna review and talk about are maybe gonna be new, but just in case they are new, for those Titus II moms that are out there that have trained under Judy and have learned the ropes and are here and available, can you just raise your hand for a second and look around and try to find those hands? So those are the ladies, if you have some just barreling questions within your heart tonight afterwards and you're like, I need prayer or direction or possibly both, those are the ladies that we're going to go to. In addition, we're, for those of you who are not, you weren't at the last two, something that we added into this class is the prayer circles, because it's so nice that we have a smaller group. We're able to do that. So the Titus II gals that were in their circles the last couple of weeks, they're going to still be in those same circles. So you can go back to that circle or switch. It doesn't matter. We're trying to keep the group around 10 to 13. It is for consistency neat if you do go to the same person at the end of our time. If you choose, though, don't feel bad. Okay, I don't want anyone feeling bad. You already feel bad a lot, and that's why you're here, is because we're your shoulders. No. So, like I told you, I should probably catch up. Maybe let's just ask. How many people are here and you were not at the first two sessions? Great. Okay, I'm talking to you. Okay, the first two sessions, what I would say is if you could take down in your notes, so you've got your journal, you've got your cards, we printed out the scripture on the back of the cards. I do need to tell everyone this, online and audience included, the order on the front of the cards is how I would perceive that you should go ahead and read those scriptures. The way that they got printed out is it's just the way it worked, and that's fine, but it won't quite do the same messaging unless you do read it according to the way that it is on the card. So that's hot tip for week three, okay? the other thing that I wanted to make sure, those of you who were not at week one and two, there's a couple of items for you to do for homework. First, go back to Devoted with Amy. There's a podcast that I was on probably a month ago or 3 weeks ago that she put that out, that it dropped. And I still think that means someone died, but okay. You know, words change. So that I think you should listen to, because it helps give you context for what mom time is, what the vision is behind that, and I think it'll be helpful for you. And then the other thing for your homework is to go ahead and listen to week one and week two. And this is not heavy duty. This is clean the house and listen, okay? Have a pen out, have your journal out. If there's something that we said, write it down. It's not to be stressful. It's just to be a blessing and to edify you. But do listen, because I think the things that we talked about and the things that we shared are really foundational and will help make sense of what it is we're going to be talking about tonight. Okay, so tonight we pick up at, oh wow, my child's a sinner. I didn't know that. So for that explanation, if you're like, I am really, this is raw for me. I don't understand how it could be that I had this child and now look what this child turned into. So a few years back, right after we were navigating through COVID, there was a workbook that I put out called Choose Life. And this girl right here was living with me during that time when we were all in lockdown. And I went to her and I said, Marna, So the Slaughters lived with us for about eight or nine months.
Yeah.
It was so fun. It was party every night. Sorry for those of you who had a hard time. We had a good time. So we had so much fun because our kids grew up together and our husbands did ministry together. And we had not seen each other for a few years. Was it a few years? And so in December, I think, sweet Marna, because we are not sisters, but sometimes it feels like, was there actually an umbilical cord that no one told us about, like during pregnancy? Because she can sense things when I am just feeling off. So she knew that that winter was like, it was kind of stressful, a lot of silly reasons why. But she had, well, not silly. I mean, when you, I had had skin cancer. So anyone that has skin cancer, it can be a little scary. And I had to have a Mohs surgery. So that's when, this is what they tell you. You're not leaving until you don't have cancer anymore. So that is very nerving because you don't know what's going to be gone when you come out, you know? And it was my forehead, and it was like 2 weeks before Joey and Kenzie got married. And so, of course, everyone wants to have a big scar on their face before a wedding, of course. And then we also had the Israel trip, and we were in the middle of a move, and there was just kinds of all sorts of things. So sweet, sweet Marna from Vanuatu typed to me on my phone, "Hey, Debbie, do you think you guys could maybe ever meet us in Hawaii when we're coming back from Vanuatu?" And those of you who know me know that I always think the worst. And of course, my first answer was, "Never." And that's just what I thought, like, no way. But then the Lord tapped me on the shoulder, as he has done before with different situations, and said, why are you in your mind not giving Brett the opportunity to say yes to this? Why are you closing this down without letting him, you know? Because I just thought, there's no way. The numbers are not adding up. Nothing's adding up. And not because Brett would shut something down because he was mean. That would never be his intention. But just, it wasn't adding up to me. But I thought, okay, so I think the Lord wants me to go to my husband about this. Okay, yeah, that's pretty consistent with everything that we're learning in the Bible. Okay, I'll do that. So, okay, so I went to Brett and I said, okay, here's, this is funny. You're going to laugh because there's all kinds of stuff that's happened. But what are the chances of us being able to go meet the Slaughters in Hawaii? And he was like, oh, totally, let's do it. So that turned me all around, and I thought, oh my goodness, suddenly it was amazing. It was the end of February,
into March.
Okay. So get this, you guys. So February 2020, I'm in Hawaii. We see Tad and Marna, Brett and I see Tad and Marna just for a couple days, and then they go back to the United States thinking, oh, that was fun. We got to see the Mudders, and then they'll come back and stay with us. We were thinking the Slaughters will come and stay with us for a few days. As they're hopping from family to family, they'll hop back in Portland and then go hop back to Vanuatu. So that was in our mind. Bye, aloha, see you later. That was really fun. And then within a week, lockdown was happening. Closures, they were closing every airport. Boom, 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 boom. They get into Portland. They're staying with us, what we thought was just going to be a couple days, and we're listening to the governor, and we're saying, let's go to the store and get all the food we can get, and this is going to be a while. So that became our eight-month adventure with you guys, and it was a total blast. So all that to say, you missed the first 2 weeks. Go listen to the first 2 weeks. But my Marna here is the Lord has used her time and time again to help me through a lot of different things. Just that Titus 2 person that you need, let the older teach the younger. And Marna's not older in years and years. She's older in miles. And her experience and heart is huge. And so my challenge to you guys the first week was to find your Marna, you know, because we need to do that in our life. I remember talking with Judy when I was first a Christian, high school, I think. Maybe I had met Brett, I'm not sure. And I just thought, maybe I was a couple years into it, and I was dating Brett, but I was really sort of, in my mind, I thought that I needed to go solo, like fly solo in life, you know, not be single from Brett, but just, I didn't need people. And Judy, I remember talking to Judy about that, and she said, honey, why would you think that? And I said, because we only need Jesus. And she helped me redirect. Because see, I came from a lot of fracture and a lot of dysfunction and a lot of things that I was saying no to in my life. And so in my mind, I had it set and I was correct to think all I needed was Jesus. But that wasn't all that meant for my life as far as I would only ever talk to Jesus. That's not what that meant. So see, that's me, Pastor Brett's wife. That's what we got, okay? So I'm just saying, Don't ever underestimate what the Lord can do in who he can use in your life, in how he can use people to speak truth into your life. God has used many, many Titus 2 ladies, and Marna here is just in town for a while, and she's able to share with us. So we're at the part where your kids are starting to merge into being who they really are in their old man. And I'm going to pass it over to Marna now. Because from my perspective, week one and week two, she had two kids before I had one. So I was able to see the framework in her mind being created in a way that was really healthy and that would make it so that the family unit would stay intact, husband would be happy, home would be happy, kids would be happy, and here she goes.
And thank the Lord, he's our foundation and he meets us when we need him. But it is so sweet, as you say, because, you know, for all of us, when we've had our first baby, like, for how many months do we think, well, this is the child who's not going to need a spanking ever because they're so sweet and they're so wonderful. And that is our firstborn, Joel, was just an absolute delight. He was an absolute delight. All three of them were. But as I know all of you would say about your children. But then the time came when, we'll get to that in just a moment, when he was a shock to my system, let's just say. And but one thing I did want to touch on is we had talked our first time. Debbie had wanted me to share the story about when it was the day after I had Joel, and the nurse, you know, they roll him in their little plastic case thingy, and he started fussing. So of course, you're the mom, the baby's fussing, you're going to pick up the baby. And I'm just revisiting this to add to it. But and Tad just put his hand on my hand and said, we need to wait. And it's not because Joel needed to learn anything. A newborn baby isn't going to be learning anything. He said, we need to discipline ourselves to make the decisions and not just respond to the demand of our children. And it can sound, I think there are people that might think that sounds silly, but there were lessons that the Lord taught me in all of those things. And one of them is that when our husbands become fathers, the mantle of being the head of the home is their God-given place. And we get to encourage them in that, and we get to give them the space to have that place. And the Lord gives us the privilege of filling up that space with love and respect, with confidence in him. And that's one of those things years ago when I would do a Bible study at our church in Newburg, but that the Lord just helped me to see. It's like in the beginnings of marriage, the beginnings of having children, the beginnings of different stages of life, we've got to give him a chance to get his sea legs. In other words, he's not going to make perfect decisions all the time. And there are things, I think, as women that we can see, if we do that, that's going to happen. And sometimes we do need to speak up. I'm not in any way saying that we don't communicate with our husbands. But there is a difference between having confidence and showing him respect and giving him the space to learn his place with knowing he can be confident in your love and support for him. And there are times when the Lord will, like, you know, we do need to communicate. There are definitely times when Tad has helped me to understand, I don't think the kids are getting that, let's do it this way. And I haven't been able to help him understand. So communication really is key. But I also, I'm so sorry, my allergies are acting up.
That's okay. But I'm gonna take a drink and I can.
Oh, very good idea.
I told her, I'll be entertainment. I'll do the entertainment. Woohoo!
That's what's so great about Debbie. Nothing throws her.
Hey, I got an A in extemporaneous speech, so it worked out. Okay, so I was going to say about that, the team idea of a marriage, that this is huge. And you know, I would call Marna and she would call me. But again, a couple weeks back, I said, she is the one that said to me, because she had toddlers, okay, I can talk to you, but if there's even one thing, I have to hang up the phone. I'm going to hang up. I'm not going to say, I've got to go. Goodbye. Let's wrap it up. It would just be clink. And so we have that understanding. Well, that's friends, right? Think about the marriage relationship that Marna is talking about. You and your husband need to be way more understanding than gotta go by, click. You have to be really thoughtful in the way that Marna is explaining it to give your husband that space but for you two to be a team so that your husband has that space to speak in to the marriage, but also so that you're like-minded, because it is at this place in time. I honestly don't think it matters which child, what age, yes, which gender, it doesn't matter. If there's a crack in the dam, they're going to find it, you know, with the finger in the dike. So they're going to try to help, you know, where is it, you know? That mom and dad have to be a team. So,
yes, absolutely.
So you keep going, because this is great. This is so good what you're sharing.
Then, of course, you know, one of my other just favorite fathers to talk about is our pastor, Sam, in Vanuatu. We just love him from the moment we met him 20 years ago. It's like he became part of our family. And he views Tad as his father, and his children view us as their grandparents, and actually we really, in truth, are. I mean, we absolutely love his family. And his wife is just so dear to me. Her name is Odaline. But one of the things, Odaline and I, as their oldest son, they also named Joel, and as he was getting a little older and she was wondering what to do, she was asking me questions. So we would meet once a week early in the morning before her family needed her and share. And one of the things she told me after a couple of years was, you know, that when they first get up, you know, the kids, they wash their face and brush their teeth and everything. She said, but we don't eat breakfast. You know, they say drink tea. We don't drink tea right away because Sam does devotions and he doesn't like for children. I'm thinking it in Bislama because that's how she said it to me.
I really wish you would actually say it in Bislama.
Okay. Hemi no like him time we picking any olu cry from kakai. Hemi no like him.
Isn't that the greatest? Isn't that so cool?
So, yeah. So she's saying Sam does not like it when children cry for food. And so he wants to teach the kids to wait and be patient and to understand that we will give them their food. So now I know, like, in our fast, busy life here in America, in our mindset, that can sound like, what? They're hungry. They just woke up. But if we think about this, when we're with people with their kids and kids cry and get their way and their parents give in, and it develops character traits in those kids that no one wants to be around, and they don't give them strength, that does not give them strength for life. So it was like, I was like, so like, that was so awesome when Odaline shared that with me, because here's the truth. When Tad asked me, let's wait, none of our children ever went uncomforted. None of them ever went unheld. We met their needs. And for Sam and Odaline, none of their children have ever gone without a meal. But their kids are able to wait and be patient and be kind. And during the years when our kids were little, I remember one time, just you know, talking to Debbie and I would talk about, okay, you know, we go to church, it's right in their nap time, we get in the car, they want to fall asleep, we're going, don't fall asleep, we need you to have your nap, wake up, you know, and they're hungry, and then they're cranky, and all those things that can happen. And she said, yeah, but Brett tells me, maybe they're hungry, maybe they're tired, but they can learn to behave like decent human beings. And like, that just stuck with me. I was like, yeah, they can. It's like, it was so strengthening to me. But that was just like, I love that we have men in our lives who are men, who have just the room for their masculine souls to develop is there. And the way that plays out is so good, because each one of these fathers that I have spoken of, they are investing in their kids. They are caring about their kids. And that's what children need. Our society is in the position it's in, I believe, most of us believe, because fathers have been choked down. They're either absent or they've been choked down. And it's so important. We have such a blessing in our lives to have good men.
Mm-hmm.
And a word real quickly to those of you who are single, because I always think for a single mom and you're hearing about fathers, that can be a burning pain to you. And just that encouragement to remember Isaiah 54, where the Lord says, I, the Lord, I am your husband. And remember, he is the heavenly father of your children. And these verses from Matthew 11, 28 through 30, where Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, there's no one who understands more than the Lord the heaviness of heart that you experience and the heaviness of burden that you feel when you're going it alone. But thankfully, he will meet you. Seek him. He will meet you. Exceptions require exceptional help and care. And I'm so thankful we have a wonderful pastoral care team here at Athey. They can connect you with women who can pray and counsel with you. But I just want to encourage you in that.
Yeah.
But for
also, I wanted to say, yeah. So you guys know, I'm not texting anyone. I'm actually taking notes with my phone, just so you know. Because I have all of our weeks on a combined note, and so I'm taking notes too. And to tie in with that too,
yes.
Just the foundations, because I bunny trailed, but that's why we have mom time right now. It's the bunny trail season.
That's
right. So it's your season of bunny trails. So this book, I went to Marna in my craziness of COVID and saying all of the things that we have, been given in our friendship, in our families, the things that we've learned, that we've been so blessed to be able to learn from the Word, I want to put everything into a compiled book that if I was not a Christian, I could read something that would actually maybe present in a way that possibly could make sense to me so that maybe I would actually want to come to Christ. And praise God, that has actually already happened from this book. I have stories of that happening. So I'm so thankful to that. But for it's yours, you know, you can go, we have these, we keep these in stock. And one of the things that we're going to be getting to, it's called Choose Life. And I know the obvious is that as Christians, we want to choose life. When it comes to, there's the argument of pro-life and, you know, pro-death and all that. So that we can go on and on, right? I mean, we can just get mad about that all the time. But that's not necessarily the focus. This is choose life because it's a mindset. And that's because in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 and 20, where God says, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." So that is what I set out to do in this book. And we'll go through some of this today. We'll come through some of this stuff. But I am circling this back to what Marna is talking to you about tonight is because it only makes sense when you live your life for Jesus and you're purposing to raise your kids in the ways of the Lord, it becomes too laborious. Maybe I should say it that way. It becomes too legalistic. It can become, and Marna alluded to this a couple weeks back, if we only live in a checklist world where we're being obedient and our obedience is how we get accepted. If that's what we're teaching our kids through discipline, that's not gonna work. It's just not gonna fly. They're gonna collapse, you're gonna collapse, everyone's gonna get burnt out. But when you look at it from a standpoint of choosing life in every aspect of your home day and your in the car day and wherever you're at day, are you choosing life in that situation? And that, I got to see Marna live that out. And I got to see her think nothing other than the Lord was going to bless the land that she was in. I mean, that's the reality. And so that's when you merge the Word with your life, and it's the spark that the Holy Spirit gives you that to be able to walk through life. And I want you to be able to catch that for your children and for you so that that's the gas. That is the gasoline in your life, is the Holy Spirit using the Word of God and activating you in such a powerful way that you're able to go about your day-to-day life thinking about eternity and asking God to bring life into your day. And so do that and do not let the enemy rob you from that, because it ends up being a joy. Ends up being a joy. I'm not saying it is a joy every second, because sometimes it's just downright hard. As those of you who have already had kids know, labor, I remember Judy telling me, because I was so nervous about having Brooke, my first baby, just remember, honey, labor means work. And I remember thinking, wow, that's so common sense. That kind of takes some of the fear right out of it, you know, because it's so common sense. It's going to be work. It's going to be work. And what do we have in our society but a society that is becoming more and more enabled and more headed towards laziness and slothfulness. And so we take the easy road out a lot of times in a lot of things in life. But one thing that labor does is it shakes you and wakes you up, doesn't it? It makes you realize, oh my goodness, there's definitely a connection between life and labor and how I go about, your whole world is rocked when you have your baby. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. So I'll pass back to you, Marna.
And when hard times come, the only way out is through. We don't get to escape it.
That's right.
It's labor till that baby's born.
Yes. So. Only way out is through.
Yes.
That's good. Take that down in your journal. The only way out is through.
And the Lord is so good to meet us. So, and just kind of referring back to the importance again of communicating with our husbands, how important it is to let there be peace and cooperation rather than turmoil and competition and ambition. And those are things, again, as you seek the Lord, you're in the Word. And in the Word, for young moms, especially with little kids, that can look like turn on a Bible teaching while you're cleaning your house and listen. It can look like just open the book of Proverbs at a quiet moment in the day and just read the proverb for the day of the month. Just in any way that you can be taken in and washing yourself in the Word, just take it in because the Lord will speak to you. But I love James chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, where it says, where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. And that is what the Lord wants for us. And I love in verse 17, what my version is, the 1984 NIV, where it says considerate. Other versions say willing to reason. So when we approach our husbands, if we need to, as fathers and mothers, as husbands and wives, rather than approaching knowing I'm in the right, we have to do it my way, it's willing to reason, willing to be considerate, full of mercy, willing to listen. And just being willing to recognize in ourselves, am I ambitious to be the right one here instead of listening in to how maybe I need some correction? So not correction, but, you know, correction, but instruction and influence. But all that to say, as Debbie said, there's this just amazing thing happens with your sweet little baby. Now, Joel, by the time he was 8 weeks old, you know how you're holding your baby and, you know, you're burping your baby and they just kind of relax into you. And that was my picture of motherhood. That's what I loved. We're going to cuddle. We're going to, you know, we'll nurse, cuddle, burp. And it'll just be really sweet. And he's going to want to be with me all the time and he's going to want me to hold him all the time. By 8 weeks, this little boy, and keep in mind, he came into the world at 10 pounds, 7 ounces, and he was 22 and a half inches long. So he didn't even look fat. He was this big little baby. So, but he's on my lap, and literally at 8 weeks, when I would be trying to hold him, he would not be happy until he was facing out, and he would not be happy until he locked his knees and literally leaned out. He wanted out. He was interested. He had energy, and he wanted to be in the world and our living room floor. And by 3 months, I kid you not, he was rolling over both ways. And I remember, and I'm so glad Judy's here, because we would both sit and think, what is this? He's 3 months. He's rolling over both ways. We thought it was an accident the first time. By 3.5 months, he was rolling wherever in the room he wanted to go. Like, you can picture a 3.5-month-old baby. And of course, I'm thinking, isn't it cute? Isn't it fun? But little did I know what I was viewing was the strength of will in my child. Which, I have to reiterate, is a good thing. The Lord was so good. Joel, took my preconceived notions of what being a mother to an infant was, and he knocked them on their head and crashed them. And it was such a good thing he did, because my preconceived notions were just that, and usually get us where they do, which is nowhere. But he made me go to the Lord for help, and I'm so thankful. He absolutely challenged me, and I had to go to the Lord for help, and the Lord is so good, and he met me. So then, of course, you spend your time feeling like, what's wrong with me? All the other babies want to be with their mom. You know? And he would literally, I'd take him to church in his entire infancy and toddlerhood. He would lean to get into the nursery and away from me. I would go to pick him up, and he would see me and run away. And all these kids are at the little gate going, "Mommy, mommy, mommy." I'm sure they wonder what's going on at home. But he was so funny. So, and I also want to say, so he was just so full of energy and wanted to move. And on our PD, when we go for well baby checks, and I'd say he's sleeping 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the afternoon. He goes to bed at 7 and he sleeps till 7. And our pediatrician said, "There's no way he's sleeping that much. I mean, go check on him." So I thought, well, okay. So I would start checking on him. Well, no, he was sleeping that much because he was literally moving every moment that he was. There was never anything still. So in that, I also, thankfully, just in praying, I just felt like, well, Lord, you know, he is a baby. He's a child. And I want to give him affection. He really doesn't care. I want to, or doesn't seem to care. But that doesn't mean he doesn't need affection. And so I would actually purpose to have times when I would make sure to give him that physical affection that he seemed to not want. Now, I don't mean that I would stand there with him, holding him and saying, "We're having affection now, Joel. This is our affection time." But I would try to be sensitive to creating moments to when he was open to it and just respond to it. And as he got a little bit older and we started reading stories, I made sure that part of story time was that he sat on my lap. So that we were having that time, because it is so important to be bonding and having that time together. They need it, even if they don't think they want it, because his urges were so interested in everything, which was wonderful, and it's a wonderful thing about him still. But anyway, so that point's made. So sorry. But as we got going, again, the Lord was so faithful because, you know, by this point, I had Joel and then Amy was a baby. And I remember driving up to church and our life was, our husbands were out to church early and they were back home late. And so Debbie and I were taking the kids. She would take our kids. I would take my kids to and from church. And you're walking into church by yourself. And I was driving up to church one morning when Amy was a baby. I cried the entire way out just saying, "Lord, this isn't doable. We either need another car, we need this, we need that, we need all this. This isn't doable. I need you to help me get these things to help this work better." And put the kids, you know, put Amy in the nursery, Joel in his little class, go sit down. And it was time for worship and special song. And who sang that morning but the lovely Cindy Westner? And the song she sang that morning was from a passage in, I'm going to say Jeremiah, I think it is, but it says, "Help me to live in the rain that falls on the just and the unjust alike. Help me to live in the name that never ceases." I'm sorry, I'm crying because the Lord just touched me with that song that day in a way I'll never forget. "And if I can't run with the footman, how shall I run with the horseman?" And it just, that, you know, when you have those times when you know the Lord is speaking, and it's like I felt the words of the song literally come over me and bring peace, and I knew it was the Lord. And it's like, this is the rain. It falls on the just and unjust alike. And I'm helping you to learn to run with the footman because there's going to be horses coming. So I'm helping you to learn. And there was something about just accepting it and saying, okay, this is how it is now. The Lord is going to help me. And he absolutely met me and continued to meet me. But that change of attitude and change of heart was absolutely key. But that's where Debbie was saying, the Holy Spirit is so faithful to teach us. He leads and guides us into all truth and uses the word. There's just nothing like when he speaks the word to your heart and makes that change, which we all know the Lord, so I know you all know that. But all that to say, coming down here. I'm sorry to my
no, it's good.
Sweet boy.
It's really good. Yeah. Our history together with our husbands being in ministry, I do think that the Lord used those that season of time to really work into our own husbands, their thought process in terms of how they would be as bosses, and without getting into it too much. But I mean, they learned a lot of really, really good things, and they saw their wives, you know, like they saw us go without a lot. They saw us go through a lot of hard things that, but you know, when your husband's called to do something, it's going to be sometimes not easy, you know? And I think Marna and I, thought, well, this is nothing compared to living in a jungle, which she would actually go and do, living where there's, you know, poisonous snakes, which she actually would go and do, and gross spiders and all, you know, I mean, oh my goodness. So to be, the Lord was really preparing her, because Marna, what she doesn't look like is Wonder Woman, but you take a woman and you put her in the jungle, some woman would go crazy. Some woman would go crazy and leave their husbands. I know a woman who said, I'm out, and left her husband. The missionary, you know, went ahead being a missionary, and they got divorced. It's happened many times. But the Lord was building within Marna a girth that was going to help her, because going to Vanuatu, yes, it's beautiful. The South Pacific, there's none like it. But there's a reason why people would get gangrene, lose limbs, because of the mold and rot and infection rate and all of the things that are actually so life-threatening that she and Tad were able to go and navigate through and still do, and do it with an amazing attitude. You would think that they're actually going to go live in Buckingham Palace whenever they go to Vanuatu, and it's just not that way. And she, with a smile, she would say, I saw black and white. Black and white are poisonous snakes. They kill you. They will kill you. Yes, Tad was my hero. I just stood up on the chair while I was taking the shower, and he got I said, black and white, and he killed it for me. So, okay, that's how we're going to go on this. So the Lord really was doing something amazing to get her through that season where, you know, it was building within the slaughters things that they needed while they went, you know, down to the South Pacific and then back to Newburgh and different times of of Chad being a pastor and then being on staff here and back and forth to Vanuatu. Like, the whole thing is just in God's hands. And what does the Bible say? But our times are in his hands. But when you're in it and you're knee deep in everything you've got to do as moms, it can just seem very exhausting. And just getting to, I remember thinking, okay, it's 10 in the morning. I think we have about 8 hours till bedtime. All right, here we go. We're going to do this. Okay. Yeah. Because sometimes you're exhausted. You know, and literally now what I know, and this is just health points, make sure and advocate for yourself with your doctor. Some women actually will become anemic during the time when you're having your babies. That's what was happening to me. I didn't know how to self-advocate. I was having extreme anemia. I mean, I was down in the level where you like get admitted and then you know, they pump you with iron. So there's just certain warning signs that your body gives you. And again, have grace in that moment to say, wow, you know, we're supposed to live in the best healthcare in all of the whole world. So I think, you know, if I don't have insurance, I got to figure out a way to go to a doctor, self-pay. Just don't be afraid to ask all those questions. If you have insurance, make the time to go do all those things, because you need to be aware of what's happening with your body, with your mind, and with your spirit. And all of that couples together. You're like, Debbie, what does that have to do with Vanuatu? Well, Marna would end up going and living, and right next to them has been a nurse for years and years and years, right. Who she has just been such a blessing to Marna. I mean, the Lord covered yes. This girl is what I'm saying, and covered her children, yeah, in such a neat way. But get back to Joel and him rolling through the house.
Yes.
So the house that you moved.
Yeah.
They lived through moving a house. That's crazy. People don't do
down
that.
Down the road to a different place. Yep. It was quite the experience.
The slaughters moved. How can all?
Yes.
Our that kids was down learned to.
Yes. It was quite a thing. But boy, the Lord used it for such blessing. But yes. So then there's Joel, and then he just was a little go-getter, and I know other moms have had kids like this, and he started walking at 10 months, and he was running by 10 months, 1 week. And you know how with each new stage, like when they start crawling, new independence comes in their personality. When they start walking, new independence comes in their personality. So there were just things that showed up that we needed to deal with. But again, that's where I'm so thankful that we can ask the Lord for wisdom. He loves it when we ask him for wisdom. And I this verse, Isaiah 28:29, all this also comes from the Lord Almighty, wonderful in counsel and magnificent in wisdom. And it is so, when we can just think about that, Lord, you're wonderful in your counsel, and you are magnificent in wisdom. And there's no end to the wisdom that he has that he will share with us when we seek him. And I also love this verse in James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. And this verse in Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. So again, when we need wisdom, and that is again where I just am so thankful that Joel rocked my world, because I had to seek the Lord to be the mom that he needed me to be for him, and to be the mom for him to be raised in the way that was pleasing to the Lord. So I did ask the Lord for wisdom. I remember thinking, Lord, I'm never going to get this. Like, I hear, like, Judy, and I would hear Debbie's mother-in-law, Brenda, and I would hear our pastor's mother, Mary, and other women speak about children and marriage and all that, and think, I'm never going to get it. How do they know that? They just know everything. It's like, how am I ever going to get that? But the Lord is so faithful, and it's in no way I'm saying that I know everything, but I can say the Lord met me when I needed him, and he taught me through his word, and sometimes he used other people in my life, especially the older women in my life, and I'm so thankful. And one of the things, when it comes to disciplining our children, just a brief touch on how important it is to understand God's discipline of us, and I will just read you this verse from Hebrews 12:11. Now, no chastening seems joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Now, that's, and previously, in fact, if you want to read Hebrews 12:3-11, it says more. But previously, it says God disciplines those he loves. He chastens those he loves. So if we're experiencing chastening from the Lord, we're experiencing his love. And he is the one who can communicate that to us. And I know when I have experienced times when I definitely have had some heavenly spankings to shake things up and let the Lord speak to me where maybe I've been hard and stubborn. At the same time that he's shaking something up in my life that I need to seek him for, he will always be faithful to speak to me how much he loves me. So there's no question that he loves us and he chastens us to bring about the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And then also in 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And 1 Peter 5, 10 and 11. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. I know when the Lord showed me this verse at a time when I was definitely struggling and suffering, that he himself will restore you. He loves you. He will come to you and restore you. And he will do it in his perfect time and in his perfect way. But when we understand that when the Lord disciplines us, it lets us know his heart towards us, his benefit in our lives, that he wants to strengthen us and enrich us. And in Romans 5:3-5, it talks about to rejoice in our sufferings because suffering produces character, perseverance, which produces character, which produces hope. And hope does not disappoint because by that, the Holy Spirit pours his love the love of Christ into our hearts. So our sufferings and our hard times are things to embrace and thank the Lord for, because he's bringing us around and on the pathway to just pouring his love into our hearts. So we know discipline of the Lord towards us is a good thing. And when he asks us to discipline our children, it's also a good thing. It is character building. It helps them understand right and wrong. It helps them learn to choose the good and not the bad. It gives us really good opportunity to teach them good is strong and it strengthens your life. When we do what's bad, it weakens your life. It takes the strength right out of your life when we do what's bad. It may feel good for the moment, but as we all know, sin feels good for the moment, but in the end, it reaps destruction. It goes, I didn't say that right, but it goes like that.
It's okay. It's more in a paraphrase. Yeah. It works out.
It's more in a paraphrase.
It works
Thank
out.
You.
It sounds good. Yes. I wanted to combine with that because it's the full picture of understanding the motive behind discipline. So the character building, helping your children actually see good versus evil, making the right choice versus a wrong choice, how it actually ties in with actually making you weaker versus stronger, and the Lord's heart behind that. Again, all of the things that Marna shared, and I would actually advise you, go home and find wherever it is on YouTube. I think it's under Athey Women, and like mark this one, okay? And get the time down even, and re-listen to what she just said, because I guarantee you, in 2 hours from now, you're going to think back on this and it will sound very different. Because if you look at it through the lens of legalism, you're going to forget about God's good character, about all the things he wants to do to restore you, about how teaching your children is for their benefit, our own discipline in our own life, that it's for the heart of God will be dismissed in our mind. And it's partly because of who we are as human beings. We're so broken that we cannot even imagine what the love of God is, let alone to allow him to foster a healthy relationship with something that everywhere you look, people are being, it's affirm, 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 affirm. There's no such word as sin. I think we're practically illiterate as far as knowing what sin is, because we're just in the system that we live in society right now, there is such an anti-God movement that the idea of conceptualizing sin is, it's completely subjective. So I just want to make sure that we really put brackets around the things that Marna has said. So on YouTube or whatever, it's going to be right around minute 44 when she said this. Zip to there and get that, note it, even write it down, because it's so important for us to get it into our heart and into our mind, the right attitude and the right motive behind why it is we would ever even think about correcting our children. Because how audacious of us, according to society right now. Right? But that's not, it's, you discipline who you love. That's what God does. He loves us, and that, because of that, he wants us to be on a road that's going to lead us to a pathway that's going to be the good way. And again, I think a couple weeks back, I talked about Pilgrim's Progress. Maybe I said it on the podcast. Again, listen to all of it, and then you'll get all of it. But Pilgrim's Progress is such a sweet narrative on, it's just an allegory of a little pilgrim going through his life and the decisions that he had to make. And the first thing he had to do was go through the narrow gate. He had directions to go through the narrow gate, or else he would not be able to experience the rest of his journey. And then on his journey along the way, all of the characters are named. That's why it's such a great book to read to your kids, because your kids will learn character attributes and traits within individuals based on the characters that John Bunyan wrote in this sweet allegory. And you know, in the end, Pilgrim, he has a burden. He always has a burden on his back. And that burden, the hard things that he has to do, scaling that wall was really hard because he had a burden, and the burden is sin. And the very thing that allowed him to end up being free at the end of the story is that he understands then that the only way is for him to, he had to let go of that burden and then be at the cross of Jesus. That, and it's a beautiful story. For me, it was so sweet to read that while I was raising my kids. I'm pretty sure I shared with you guys, don't read the Old English, it'll totally throw you off, but find an updated translation, because it's just such a good teaching tool. But again, back to the motivation, the legalism aspect if that's all you're grabbing onto, which that's what Pilgrim was doing. He had the burdens on his back because he didn't understand that he could let go of that sin. That he just felt the consequence of the burden, but he didn't realize how much Jesus would take that burden. And that's, as a mom, that's like one of the biggest things that you need to be able to really work on communicating, even to the littlest child, the thing that is causing the consequence right now, this is a burden to you. It's going to be a burden to you. And that translates into a spanking. Okay? When they're little, that Marna was very helpful with me because I had such a hard time. Again, I came from parents who were teachers, who were also taught children are basically good. It doesn't matter. Let them experience life. And now we know we're living through what that is like, is if you experience life and it's, you know, chaos. But God has called us to order in the midst of chaos. And that's what's so amazing and such a miraculous thing about becoming pregnant, actually carrying a baby, the process of labor. It's the exact same thing for all the humans, but somehow they keep on teaching evolution. So I don't understand it because it's too perfect of a system and it should have broken a long time ago if we're gonna really carry it out with evolution. But back to obedience, the structure is so important for you to teach that to your kids, for them to grab onto that. And one of the things that might be helpful is in Hebrews 5, again, the Lord's so good. Last week, you guys know that I felt like the Lord just gave us all a kiss in the notes that I found that I shared with you. But this morning, when I was looking into the word and just asking, like, Lord, what's a specific thing for the ladies to help communicate to you, to you all from the Lord? And Hebrews 5:8, I totally think that this is so, it's you guys, it's so for us. I mean, this scripture was in my devotional for my through the year, my Bible study thing that I do in the morning. And it's not for this day. It could have been April 1st or it could have been July 5th. It's whenever you pick it up and start going through this particular book. So it was this day, this scripture for you tonight. And it's about obedience. And it's talking about Jesus. And you can back up a little bit to give context, but it's talking about him as our high priest. So in verse 7, it says, who in the days of his flesh, it's Melchizedek, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So that is, it's totally talking about Jesus, if you read the whole chapter, going to the cross and choosing to go to the cross, choosing obedience, even though it was complete suffering. And I don't think it's an accident that within mom time groups, you know, labor, they say labor is one of the closest things that can even resemble the crucifix. Is labor. And for some women in their labor, they do have a really spiritual experience. It's a beautiful thing for many, many women. Other women, not so much. But we're not going to compare notes, right? But the fact of the matter is, Jesus went to the cross for us, and he suffered, and he suffered and suffered and suffered, and he did that because he was obeying. Because when he got actually onto this earth with skin on, what did he pray in the garden? Lord, if it's your will, take this from me. But he submitted himself to the will of God. And that is such a spiritual, obviously it's Jesus, it's a spiritual thing, but that concept is what we are actually trying to teach our kids. That yes, through obedience, it's not always gonna feel good. It actually is not gonna feel great to obey all the time. How many here want a banana split right now? Or a, you know, whatever, and you're a diabetic and you just can't have it. I mean, that's suffering. People who have really hard times with balancing their blood sugar because it affects their hormones and their mind and their emotions and all these things. It is suffering to go through, but you have to be obedient to follow the cues of your body, right? And we could talk about all the different things going through health. To me, there's such amazing parallels with our body and obedience and where that leads us. And I think it's amazing that Jesus calls us the body of Christ. And so as the body of Christ, it is so helpful to all of us if we obey, right? Like my organs really appreciate if I stay within the boundary of how I should live. And that's how we all benefit. So your little Joel or your little, you know, Brooke, Joey, your little Amy and John, whoever your little kiddos are, they're a part of the body of Christ. And it's obedience combined with suffering. And I'm not saying make them suffer when you spank them. I'm saying they're going to need, they'll be in tune with their own flesh as they work through the idea of I'm learning what obedience is. I'm not able to do it. I would rather not have the spanking, so I'll do it. I'll obey. And I don't like that. I mean, this is a two-year-old mind, right? Or a one-and-a-half-year-old mind. I see the plug where I could put this key of mommy's, or, and I think that's fun. I think that is neat. I want to see what that's like. Oh, ow, I don't like that. That means take that away. Okay, I don't know why that is, but that I didn't like that, so I'm going to crawl away from that. Okay, that's a real thing. Our daughter Casey was real little, and I had plugs everywhere. I had it all covered. I promise I did. Somehow she got a hold of my keys. Somehow she put the key into the electric socket. And thank God, I think there's angels that protected her, because I found the keys and there was a burn mark on the key. And that she was not dead. Okay, she was not dead. I'm saying there's very real consequences that can come if your kids don't learn certain things. So the act of teaching your kids the moment by moment intentionality that you're going to have to exhibit is going to take every ounce of energy that you have, every ounce and then some. But thankfully, God renews us day by day, you know. And for some of you, bedtime's going to come early. Bedtime's going to come early for some of your kids, because you're going to need that sleep. And some others, like my friend Melinda out there, she was able to have her kids trained to stay up late because that's when Daddy got home. Daddy got home late, so our kids are staying up late. And that's fine too. You pray, you see how the Lord leads you, and then carry those things out as your act of obedience to the Lord. Is there anything else that absolutely. You, because it'd be great. We have more time.
Oh.
Yes, please.
No, I love that. That's so good. Now, as I was going along with our little Joel, we just would go through these seasons. Once he began to show that actually, no, in fact, he does need discipline and he does need to be spanked. That child could be so loud, you can't even believe how loud he can be when he cried. And there was this one time, we were just talking about this with Melinda and Chris the other day, when they came over, it was like Friday night, I think we're going to have dinner, watch a movie. Joel was already in bed, but he was quite vocal, crying. And Chris just asked Tad, you know, is Joel be okay? And Tad laughed and said, come here. And we'd go down our little hallway and we could leave his bedroom door cracked and look through the hinge side of the door at him in his crib. And Tad showed Chris. Joel was standing in his crib, giving it his all, just crying. And then he'd go, and then he'd do it again and just cry. But it was like so funny. Chris came out, and nobody can laugh like Chris. He was laughing so hard. He said, that is hilarious. And Dad said, that's why we have to let him cry to sleep, because he doesn't really mean it. And of course, that crying to sleep thing is a whole thing. But we got into the stage where it was clear that this child needed some discipline. So I would, you know, we'd have stages. Like, he would go through like 2 weeks where I felt like every waking moment was me disciplining Joel. And then he would get it, and then we would have a period of our peaceful little boy coming back. And there's a proverb, and I'll read it in a moment, that talks about the rod of discipline drives the foolishness out of the heart of the child. And it's like, it was so wonderful to read that proverb in that season, because the reality of it was so real. He would be so full of just his own naughtiness and not wanting to listen. And he absolutely, if I told him not to do something, his determination for the rest of the day was, I'm doing that. And he would look at me with this look in his eye of, you're not in charge of me. And he would do it. And he looked, I mean, he was his little blonde curls, his big blue eyes, he did little rosy cheeks. He just looked like the picture of innocence. But I knew the look in his eye that he would give me when I told him not to do something. It would be this. Well, he did it better. But I would have to spank him sometimes, multiple times, for the same thing in a day, because he kept going back. And that was one of those things. I'm so thankful Tad and I were able to talk on the phone sometimes, because he would be off at camp with Brett quite a lot. But I remember listening to vintage James Dobson was like, he doesn't even know how much of a friend he was of mine. Listen to him. I remember him talking about, if you set a line and your child keeps hitting that line and going over it, you do it one more time. He does it, you do it one more time. As many times as he does it, you do it, because he has to learn that you're always going to do it one more time. You're in charge. You have the authority. And that is exactly what Joel did for me. So there were times when Dad would call me from camp, and I would just be in tears and just saying, honey, like, I know I'm supposed to be paddling his bottom when he's naughty, and trust me, I'm doing it. But he is not learning. And I feel like it's like, I was feeling like it's wrong. I was feeling like I'm doing it wrong. Other kids are getting it after a couple spankings. No, not ours. And Dad would just so kindly say, just keep doing it. Don't stop. He said he's a toddler and he's needing to learn who's in charge. We are the authority in his life, and it's to his benefit. It is his favor. Plus, nobody wants a spoiled brat of a kid, and that's exactly the direction he will head if we don't be in charge of him. And he said, besides, I'm with the junior high kids, and they act the same way, only now they're smart. And he said, and I can tell upon meeting them with their families which kids know they're under their parents' authority and which kids know they're not. And he said, trust me, we want our kids to know they're under our authority. Their lives are more peaceful. It literally is that peaceable fruit of righteousness that Hebrews 12 talks about. So I would just continue on. Thankfully then, you know, I would read in Proverbs, the Lord would encourage me, you know, and then one day I happened to be in one of those seasons where I just felt like, no, I'm not doing anything right. My child runs away from me. So I happened to read Isaiah 28, and I'm just going to read Isaiah 28, 26 through 29. God instructs him and teaches him the right way. Caraway is not threshed with a sledge, nor is a cartwheel rolled over cumin. Caraway is beaten out with a rod and cumin with a stick. Grain must be ground to make bread, so one does not go on threshing it forever. Though he drives the wheels of his threshing cart over it, his horse does not grind it. All this also comes from the Lord Almighty, wonderful in counsel and magnificent in wisdom. But I was just so touched because the Lord absolutely used this to show me, because I was convinced I was being too hard on my little son. I was just convinced. I was just being a terrible mom. And the Lord helped me to see, no. So we don't run over our kids like a sledge and just, you know, be too harsh so they're just crushed to smithereens. We don't run over them with a cartwheel with a heavy load where there's just nothing left. No. To crack the hard casing of caraway and cumin, you hit it with a stick. You crack it open, that hard shell, so that the spice can be released and the spice can be used. And that, and of course, that just correlates with all the verses in Proverbs that talk about spare the rod, spoil the child, you know, and using the rod and using the stick with our kids. You know, we're not crushing them. It's so important that we're disciplining them to help them learn and experience the goodness of life, to help them learn and experience. Again, it's like that spice being released. We're not crushing them. If we crush, then we actually, you know, and there are many people in the world who have been crushed by cruel parents who were strong but cruel. And strong does not mean cruel. Strong is a good thing. But we just, it's really important, probably no one here would be cruel, but there are people who have been crushed, and that is using a sledge, that is a cartload on your kids. We don't want to crush the wonderful person that God made them to be. We want to enhance the wonderful person that God made them to be by helping to, and that's again where I love James Dobson, the way he said it, shape the will without breaking the spirit. Their spirits are precious. And I remember once Judy told me, someone had shared with her, that the spirit of a child is not a child. The spirit it's their spirit. And that's that, especially, you know, when we're saved, that's what goes to heaven with the Lord. That's what joins with the Lord. And that we want to encourage, that without the shaping of the will, that can go, you know, kids can go crazy, as we all know. And that's too where I love, my favorite author is George MacDonald. And during this season of my life, I was reading him when I was pregnant with Amy and Joel would be having his naps. I was reading George MacDonald. He was just feeding my soul, helping my understanding of the Lord. But the one thing that he says very often is that we want to be childlike, not childish. The Lord wants us to be childlike, but that's not being childish. The thing he also said was, and this has really helped introduce this to my thinking, to be strong-willed is a good thing. We don't want to teach our strong-willed children not to be strong-willed. We want to teach our strong-willed children not to be willful. To be willful is to give in to selfishness. To be strong-willed is to choose against your own will and do the right thing. And that is such a good lesson, and I'm so thankful for that. So as the years went on, and another thing that James Dobson would talk about is if you've done your job and paddled, and again, we paddled their bottoms, you know, we're not hitting their heads, we're not smacking, we're not shoving, we're not doing things like that. We would do a very measured thing, I would do with our kids. So they knew exactly what to expect when I said, okay, go sit on Joel's bed. Joel had the big bed, Amy had the toddler bed. So John had the crib. So when I would say, go sit on the bed, I'll be right there. And I would come in with the spoon. And then I would say, okay, you have to lay across my lap. And they had to lay themselves across my lap. I wasn't going to fight with them. And if they fought with me, I would tell them, okay, you're getting a spanking for what you just did, and now you're going to get another spanking for fighting with me. They needed to learn to do what they were told. So they would lay on my
and
lap.
Also, sorry to interrupt, but yeah. Also you guys, we talked about this too, was they needed to accept the punishment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that's a part, that's where it ties in, for me anyway, how it made sense. Again, God was rebuilding within me. How does it make sense to take a child that I thought children were born basically good? Wait a second, what? And then to take everything that Marna just explained, how do I insert those two things? And the only way it makes sense for me was the gospel. And that is that you come to Christ because you're aware that you're a sinner and you're in need of great salvation. Only Jesus can provide that. And when Marna, I remember when she had told me that the kids had to, you know, lay over like that. And I'll show you next week my trick of the trade, because I didn't quite get it exactly the way Marna had to do it. I had to learn to whoop and make them stay there, you know. But if they flailed around, I added to the punishment the exact same way. And part of what I would do, again, exactly the same. I mean, the consistency is so important with your friends. Because then you're on the same page, and you guys all understand that if you're having a birthday party and someone has a meltdown or something, and they know that there should be a consequence for the temper tantrum, or they know if they did something that's, you have talked about, we'll talk about this next week, we'll have the happy chat next week, but they should not be surprised by the consequence that you're going to deliver. In the same way that you read the Bible and you have knowledge of the Ten Commandments and you're like, whoa, I broke 8 out of 10 of those today, you know? you need to have that acknowledgement that we have fallen short.
Yes.
That's the huge thing. And so, see, Marna's kids knew going to the bed meant, uh-oh, I fell short. And then they were going to get a punishment. And in the end, that is, you are needing to show the suffering that Christ did on the cross to set us free so that we could go to heaven. We have to understand there's a part of us that has to die in our daily life, in our walk with God. And again, like what Marna said, that breaking is so that the fragrance can be set free and actually be an aroma, you know, to people. Not run away, but run to, you know. We want to make sure that we're pulling out that best from our kids. And it's a privilege to be able to do that. Yes. Once that clicks within your mind, then you're on a mission. Mm-hmm. Now you're on a mission.
Yes.
You know, and we just want you to feel set free in your mission that you have. Because it's a glorious privilege that God has given. And he gives that us direction in his word and blesses us with that, you know. So it's 8:21. So I was wondering, maybe we could go till 8 more minutes? Is that okay?
Good?
Okay, good.
Okay.
Yes, good. Because I want to
so
squeeze everything I can out right now because she's leaving
she's
us
so sweet.
After this. She's not going to be with us next week, but I want you to get everything you can.
You're so sweet, Debbie. Debbie makes me just feel so good.
Thank you.
So again, so that they know what to expect. There's good things that happen here. For one thing, if you are feeling a strong surge of anger, it gives you a chance to get yourself in check. The Bible says, in your anger, do not sin. Now, that is inferring we're going to feel anger, but in our anger, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're not to sin. So it helps us to get ourselves in check so that when we're disciplining our kids, even if there's some strength of feeling going on, there is control, and they can learn not to be afraid of us, but to respect us. And so I would go in, and then I would just do, however old they were, if they're one, they got one. If they're two, we got two. If they are three, because the older they got, the more they need, the more pain they need to feel. So, and again, I just wanted our kids to know. I just wanted him to know what to expect, Joel, and then Amy, and then John. So they would do that. And then I love what you said, Debbie, because as we discipline, as you're walking through, as you're living through, as you're praying, walking with the Lord, and you're going through these times, and you're disciplining your children, it is so special how the Lord speaks to you about how much he loves you. And like last week, and Debbie talked about the verse, Zephaniah 3:17, mm-hmm. about the Lord's love rests upon us. And it's like so amazing to think it's resting. It's not flitting about. It's not leaving. His love rests upon us, and how his love quiets us. And I just love that, because we see in such a real way when we're raising our children, as we love them, how much more the Lord loves us. The Lord just spoke his love to me in amazing ways in those years when I was learning these things. But also, there's this really wonderful thing that happens. So the kids, you know, they'd give them their spanking, then I'd leave the room for a few minutes, come back, and then they would sit on my lap, and I would say, do you have anything to say? And that was the time to say, I'm sorry, Mommy, that I blah, 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 whatever they did. And then we would just talk about it, and I would say, now, do you remember before you hit your little brother? Do you remember how you felt? It's like, well, mad. I said, so when you felt mad, was that a good thing to choose to hit little John? No. So what should you have chosen to do? To not hit him. And I would have these talks because I wanted them to understand, when you feel those feelings, and you did you know you shouldn't do it? Yeah. Okay, that's your conscience. You need to listen to your conscience. It will keep you out of trouble. That's the Holy Spirit inside of you helping you. But teach them, we're teaching them also how to think and how to keep themselves out of trouble. So anyway, that was one. But then the other benefit is they go through, okay, like Debbie said, acknowledging they needed to be corrected, that they were sinning, experiencing the discipline, the confession. It's like if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's been confessed, it's been dealt with. Praying with them and saying, do you know that Jesus forgives you? You've said sorry. And you know that when he forgives you, he forgets it and he doesn't even think about it anymore. And it's fresh and new. You get a fresh and new start. And then we don't spend the day bringing up the wrong thing he did. It's over and it's done. It's behind us. And our kids get to experience that freedom of soul. Guilt is gone. Shame is gone. It's dealt with. And what happens is that they turn into their sweet little selves again. And that I loved being able to experience that. And we had one day when our sweet little Amy was, not she was one of those kids. She was, first of all, left-handed. And Judy had told me, well, left-handed kids usually speak sooner. And Amy did. Plus, she was a girl. Plus, she was behind Joel. So she was very verbal. By the time she was 20 months old, she could tell me anything she wanted to tell me. And so there was this one day. She was maybe 22 months. She wasn't quite 2 years old, but she kept, we had our chairs at the dining room, and Joel was coloring, and of course she liked to do anything Joel was doing. So I kept towels over the chairs to keep the mess because they're upholstery and, you know, all that. So I could wash the towels, but didn't want to wash the chairs. So anyway, she kept pulling the towel down.
Now they have those for $9.99, just so you know. They have those liner things. Everyone has them. We thought about it.
We thought about it.
We should make these plastic like outfit things.
So they did. We actually designed it.
We thought of it first.
We had it all. All figured out.
But you had your system.
Yes, we had. So she kept pulling the towel off, and I'd put it and say, Amy Grace, you need to leave the towel on. And she pulled it off. And Amy Grace, I gave her a couple times. And then I told her, Amy, and then she got down from the chair. Her little tiny 22-month-old body with her little blonde curls and her big blue eyes came over to me and said, don't tell me what to do. How do you not laugh? You can't laugh because you cannot encourage that that's actually funny. So I didn't laugh. I said, Amy, you do not speak to mommy that way. You tell mommy, I'm sorry for talking rude to you. And she's like, as you know, kids can do. And girls are a different thing than boys. My boys never did that to me, but my daughter did. And I said, okay, you go sit on Joel's bed. So then she knows what's coming. So I gave her a spanking. I said, okay, now you need to say, mommy, I'm sorry for talking rude to you. Now that can sound like too much to ask of someone who's not even due, but I knew she could say it, and I knew she knew what she was doing. And literally, I got... And again, it's hard not to laugh because this little person thinks, really, they're in charge of you. You know? So multiple times I had to go back in. And then one time she said, stay. Because I knew the stubbornness had not been cracked. That was like just checking the list, but not really doing the job. So I said, okay, spanked her again. And then I think just again, it was multiple times, and I came back in and I said, okay, Amy, mommy does not want, and of course by this point I'm almost, you know, I'm practically in tears, and I'm saying, mommy does not want to spank you again. And all you have to do is say, mommy, I'm sorry for talking rude to you. And she looked at me, and I knew it was the last time, because she looked at me and just broke and started crying and saying, mommy, I'm so sorry I talked rude to you. And she said the whole sentence. But you literally see the crack, and you see the softness, and you see the contrition, and it comes back. And for the rest of the day, what happens? My sweet little girl was back. And she was my best friend for the rest of the day. And she was helping me do everything. And she just wanted to be with me all day. It releases love. It releases all of the good things that children need and want to experience. And of course, I have many stories about all of my kids along those lines. But that, the Lord was just so faithful and so good. And there were so many verses in Proverbs I wanted to share with you about discipline. But one thing I think that I do just want to share, since we're running out of time, is that verse in Isaiah 46:10 that says, the Lord knows the end from the beginning. So he knows the end of the road from the beginning of the road. We don't see it, but he's omniscient and he's all-seeing and he does know it. And we can trust him, and he will do everything for his good pleasure. So I put all those times in, the Lord met me, the Lord was faithful, and what did I have? Just to bring it full circle, when our son Joel was graduating from his family practice residency, and it was his turn, it's a smallish group, so everybody got to talk, so it was his turn, and he was so wonderfully thankful to his wife, who endured those last years of medical school and residency, and had two babies really close together, and she just is like, we could not be more thankful for her. And he couldn't either. And he thanked her. And then, to my surprise, he said, and I want to thank my mom, because she stuck to it. And I know she obeyed the Lord, did what she was supposed to do. She changed me. There were times when I got disciplined when I felt the change. And there are times when my parents, but he just was so, he just said the sweetest things to me and about me to this group of people. And it's like that full circle, you know, like the Lord saw the end from the beginning. And he, you know, of course, I'm not saying that to like pump myself up or anything, but other than that to say, you know, when we're going through those hard times and we don't see it and we don't know, like good things are happening in our kids. And at the end of the road, what did Joel do? He turned around and he blessed me. And I'm so incredibly thankful to the Lord for how good he is and how faithful he is and how true to his word he is. And that the faith that Joel gave his heart to the Lord the week before he turned 3 and never wavered. Never not one day of his life has he wavered. And we're just so thankful for that and thankful for him. None of our kids have, which is a huge blessing. So
that's what you want. In the end, yes. You know, I have no greater joy than to see my children walk with Christ.
Yes.
That's for sure. Yeah, that's really sweet. So let's pray, and then let's go into our groups, because I know the Lord's doing things in our family. So let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much for your faithfulness, for your word, and for the fact that you do give us a guide. Every single day we have the opportunity. We're so thankful that we are able to read and that we have your word with us. And we're so thankful that you live inside of us. And so we do pray for every mom that's going to be going to the group. And we pray for the Titus 2 moms, that you'd give them wisdom, and that the prayer groups would go well, and that online groups would go well too. And that we would just continue to see your spirit working in our families, Lord. And we're just so thankful for the way that you have saved us, and that you don't just save us to keep us the way we are, but you save us and you help us change, and you help us change toward you, Lord. So we look to you now, and we thank you so much, and we praise you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.